this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I just want to pray for us. Father, I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, Lord, your love, Lord. Thank you that you are a good God in everything that you do, Lord. Lord, we just want to praise you this morning, God. We want to declare that you are Lord, you are God. And Father, I thank you that you are so real, Lord, in my life, Lord. I thank you for what you've done in my family, in this church, Lord God, in my friends, Lord. I thank you that you speak, Lord. I thank you that you heal, that you deliver, Lord, that you make us free, Lord, that you create new lives, Lord. And we just want to honor you for that in this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We also had a bit of a holiday, so I didn't do any missions, except maybe one little thing but that was the rest. I rested, and that was good. And I didn't feel guilty about it at all. But one day we went to the Logos Hope ship. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a Christian ship, the missionary ship. They go to all different harbors and they reach out. And Andre, who the os het julle dit reg gekry? They were on the boat being served by the people. I only managed to get through the library, but they, like, you've got special grace from the Lord to get through that. But it was really amazing. What really stood out for me, as you enter that boat, just the love. And you can just experience God's love. And I thought, and the Alabex was with them as well. It was good to see the photographs. I was so jealous in an evil way when I saw that. You know, just experiencing God's love as you walked into that boat. And it's amazing. And I just thought, wow, that is so amazing. Where the presence of God is, where believers come together, the love of Christ that's there. So for me, I'm working on my family to take us on a sabbatical, I think just for a year or 2 years maybe, just to live on that boat. It would be so amazing. But the other thing that really stood out for me in my holiday was an interview with Amor van der Westhuizen. Nie Amor Becker nie, en ook nie die Joos van der Westhuizen's wife nie. She was the daughter of Joey Harhoff. I don't know if anyone saw that on Focus or something. And Joey Harhoff was the hoofvrou in Gert van Rooyen's life. And now, maybe if you're a bit older, you might remember Gert van Rooyen. And I was in matric when he started, and in the army when it finished. But we had so many jokes about this, and there were so many Gert van Rooyen grappies, you know. And now, when I saw this and looking back to what happened in their lives, I was actually so shocked because of what has happened through their lives. So Lynette and I watched it, and it was shocking. And I started just going to see again what happened. And it's actually strange to see how little information there is on the internet regarding this incident. Very little. It's like you can't actually believe, because it was such a big thing in our country. I was shocked. But if you don't know Joey Harhoff and Gert van Rooyen, and I said to Eugene, he might have to come and preach again to set right what I'm going to destroy today, because I don't want to instill fear, but I still believe there's an awake. We must be awake, especially with our children. But Joey Harhoff was this tunny. Maybe you can just show what they look like. I mean, gewone Afrikaanse mense, and she would lure the children, and then they allegedly kidnapped 5 children. Joan Horn, she was 13 years old, Odette Boucher, 11, and Marie Wappenaar, 12 years old, Yolande Wessels, she was 12, Fiona Harvey was 12 years old, and the last victim escaped their house in 227 Malarbe Street in Capital Park in Pretoria. And in the 90s, I lived in Pretoria for a year, and I went to go and see what it looked like. The house was destroyed. the police rebuilt a house for the children crime unit from that house, and they committed suicide on 16 January 1919, and everyone asked, what happened? What happened to those children? And there's various rumors that came out, and the one was that the Anne-Marie Wappenaar and maybe Odette Boucher was possibly alive 5 months after they committed suicide. It's a rumor. We're not sure what happened, but his son, Flip van Rooyen, also in jail, similar type of crimes that he's done. These are two sons that I understand both were in jail. And he said that his father was part of a satanic ring. It was rituals, and they probably burned the bodies in acid. And that there was two prime ministers who were part of this ring. But I believe that there is maybe truth to that. It's a smuggling ring, and through that you think maybe that's just those two incidents that it couldn't have happened. But hearing this lady's testimony saying that she got so rejected by society because when they heard she was Joey Horov's daughter and she was married already, no one wanted to do anything with her. And she said in her own life she was that. Her mother would, she could remember from in being in the cot, she was beaten by her mom. Her ear was torn. She had many times tears in her ears from the abuse that she had gone through from her mom. Her mom saying things like, yeah, is nie worth any adventure, was do it. Repetitive words of breaking her down. So she'd been extremely rejected by society, by her own family. And her father did terrible things to her as a little girl and growing up as well. So all the pain that she had gone through, and then society turning against her, and her husband lost his job that same week when the whole thing came out, and how they had to move from town to town, and then as soon as people found out who they were, they lost their job again, and they were going through all this pain. And she said, you know, they asked her, you know, what do you think? And she didn't have a relationship with her mom. She said she doesn't know, but she cannot imagine what it must have been like for those parents, because she's got children as well. And then she said she just want to ask one question to adults who hurt little children. She said, who gives you the right to do that? And then she said it took her 20 years to get healed. But she cried out to God. She said, God, you must help me. And a friend who was a pastor took her to another pastor, and they prayed with her. And then he said, you must get involved in a church. And she started going to a church, and she didn't like that church. And then she went to a different church, and this pastor couple started walking a road with her, and she got... She said it took her 20 years to get healed. And the lady that's writing the book, Carla van der Spy, the book is called Battered, Abused, and Shamed, said that what happened to her is similar to what she sees with prisoners, the profile of prisoners, thieves, prostitutes, murderers, that happens to them. So, you know, we might think this is just a once-off incident, but I don't know if you've heard of Jimmy Savile. He was a famous BBC presenter, radio personality. He was a DJ. He did voluntary work in hospitals. He was a very well-known personality in Britain. And it came out that this man did terrible things to people, but no one wanted to speak against him. As soon as anyone spoke, they got intimidated to be quiet. But he was such a well-known man that many young girls were drawn to him. And the sad thing is that some of the bad things that he has done, he did in over 13 different hospitals where he did voluntary work. So he used it as a platform to get access to children to hurt them. And then after he died, there was this man who did a documentary on his life. He was a former police officer, and he took all the evidence that he would gather to make a court case. And he went to certain lawyers, and he asked them, is this sufficient to prosecute if he was still alive? And they said, definitely, this is more than enough that we need. And through this documentary, many people came out, and allegedly 450 young girls that was hurt sexually by this man. And through this investigation, 8 people got arrested, of which Rolf Harris, I don't know if you remember him, the man with the third leg, he actually went to jail. Gary Glitter, he was a famous pop star. Freddie Starr, he was a comedian in Britain. And then other BBC producers. But the first time allegations was made was in 1963. He died in about 2012. In that time, he was never prosecuted. So I just believe for us as parents, we've got to be so awake and we have to speak. And I think this is where why evergreen parenting is so important, that we as parents can learn how to speak and how to draw those files to speak to our children, to protect them, that niemand vat daan nie, that we can protect our children, that we can grow, and also to understand if we've been hurt, that there's healing in Christ. And I've realized that, because, you know, the other day someone confessed to me that he is a pedophile. And, you know, I think previously I would have been, but now I see the pain that this person has gone through because bad things has happened to this person. And the outflow of that is where Satan just used that pain to want to inflict others, other people again. So for me, when we get hurt, when we're very small. And what I'm discovering in my walk with the Lord now, and as I'm helping people, and I'm just seeing, I actually just wanted to mention the Rape Crisis Center here, and I'm seeing one of the volunteers here as well. And I just actually just want to draw ek wil net hierdie preek eintlik in hulle opdra for the work that they are doing to help people who've been broken by society, and especially people in who trusted, who they trusted, and then who abused them as well. And many people are young children when bad things has happened to them. But what I'm seeing is the outflow of pain is 3 things. It's first rejection, then it's rebellion, and then there's a root of bitterness that comes in our hearts. And rejection is an inward reaction to the absence of God. The rebellion is an outward reaction to it. And then the bitterness is when the hearts get hardened. But rejection is where father was absent or a mother was not nurturing, or it could have happened from other ways, and it's designed to wound a child. When a child is rejected, they are wounded, and that wound causes them to feel unwanted. We all have a need for belonging, for the love of God. And when we are separated from that, there's a wound that takes place in our heart. No one likes it to be rejected. I think we all can tell stories where something bad has happened to us, where we were being joked at, and we felt we belong as part of this group. We might have wanted to be part of an in circle, but somehow we never could be part of that group. We all have gone through things where we have been rejected. But I just realized that God's heart is belonging, that we belong to Him, that in that knowing Him, we are children of God, and our worth is in that we are God's children, and that God loves us, and there should not be any rejection when we are in Christ. So separation from God leads to pain, to wounding, it leads to rejection, and it can happen various ways. It's an unplanned pregnancy, a child is born illegitimate, the parent a parent rejects the child, the parent can die. The parent wanted a girl, but they get a boy, or they wanted Hendrik, then they call the girl Hendrika. That's in Encounter 3, the first time I heard that. You could have been bullied at school, abuse, a parent giving more attention to one of the siblings. Then even after school, the one is deserted or divorced. There's an unfaithful partner, a breakup in relationship. One goes to prison, or you're being fired or retrenched. And you feel like, why did this happen to me? What did I do wrong? And that leaves us with rejection. And a rejected person becomes open to other areas of sin. So we almost, to get that sense of acceptance, we want to sin. So to feel better about who we are. And that the first thing is lust, pornography and masturbation, sex outside of marriage. And it's normally from a root of rejection, addictions, masturbation, pornography, alcoholism, drug abuse that need to be loved. All addictions is really rooted in a place for I need love. I need to be loved. A fantasy world where I'm not liked out there, so I will seclude myself and I will play games the whole day. I live out in the movies that I watch or the things that I, you know, a fantasy world. There's an insecurity and an inferiority, low self-esteem that comes from that. Or on the other side, it can be pride or vanity. I'm better than other people. It can go both ways for people. Self-accusation, that I'm inwardly wanting to, I should have said that, I should have done this, I should do better. This, you're constantly looking at yourself. People become depressed, despair, discouraged, hopeless, lonely. There's a sensitiveness, they're very sensitive, so they are very easily hurt, and they're aware of the attitudes and feelings of others. They're very sensitive to every word and action, and they're very easily offended. And that comes from a place of where we've been rejected. And out of that fear, anxiety, and stress, we fear this, we're anxious, we're worried about the future, we worry about many things. It's just that fear that overwhelms us. And then there's indecisiveness that comes from that. We cannot make a decision. So I used to have this. I used to be indecisive, but I'm not sure anymore. So you procrastinate, you compromise, you forgetful. But that's the inward reaction. And then the outward one is rebellion. You become rebellious. And that's what Satan wants us to be. He wants us to be rebellious, because then we become disobedient and we rebel against God and God's word. And when we do that, then we are open for destruction. So he wants, and rebellion is many times just a cry for attention. When we, like, foot a stump. Some time ago, I was praying for someone that's not here so I can share it. And I just, we prayed, and the next moment I knew there was something about yoga. And I said, yeah, but yoga for oorsaak. And this lady sort of stood up like that. And then later on, there was the, and when Desiree gave the word, it actually happened. Then I said, rebellion. And then she stood up and she stomped her foot to her. She said, every knee will bow. And then she sat down again. It's just amazing to see just that. And it all came from a place of being rejected. But it said, I will not submit. I will do my own thing. And people with rebellion become stubborn. They're that stiff-necked people, refusal to repent. They're unyielding. I will not give in. They become unteachable and they argue and they want to persuade you that my rights, it's about me, and their hearts become hardened, or they become there's delusion where I want to be something. I want to be an actor or a pastor or a singer. I want to be something that I'm not where I'm at. Or we become very selfish, that narcissism, I love myself, the selfish that we take of ourselves. Or it opens us to witchcraft, control, manipulation. I want to manipulate. I want to have power. And I think for us as Christians, it many times manifests that we want to see the miracles, and I just want to be used. So we such a hunger to be used by God in miracles, for example. But the root is really because I want to feel accepted by someone. I want to have some self-worth. Idolatry, where we start, that people start going into other religions. They seek something more. They want to know more. And then control or possessiveness. They want to dominate and influence others. So that's the rebellious side. And out of that, there's a root of bitterness. And it leaves us with unforgiveness, with rage, anger, and even violence and revenge. And this bitterness becomes a repressed anger, this inside anger in us. And, you know, many times we keep memories of past offenses alive, and it causes unforgiveness and bitterness and even hatred in us. And it's very destructive, this bitterness that stays in our hearts. And this is what happens when a person is wounded. But what I see, that healing starts with restoration with God. Exodus 15, verse 26 says, "There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, 'If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, your healer.'" And I can now pray. All these things that I spoke about is for the Egyptians. It's slavery. It's paid for. On the cross, Jesus took that upon him. And he said, "I was broken so that you can be healed." He has done the work already. So even though we've come like a moor van de Vestas and we've been broken to pieces, the God of this universe says, if we come to this point where we can be obedient and live according to this, none of these things will be upon us, because I am the God, your healer. So the key is really in knowing God, the Word, and becoming a doer of the Word. If we understand that God has given us this manual, our healing, our life is in this. And you know, Josh McDowell, and I say it so often, but he says rules without relationship leads to rebellion. You can't read this and follow this if there's not relationship with God. You must have relationship to be able to follow this. And when you follow this and it becomes real to you, those things start, God starts taking the things away from you. And I believe sometimes it might probably take 20 years, but I believe it can take quicker because God is a God of miracles. But I believe it's God's heart for all of us to be whole, to be healed, to walk in the fullness of what God has called us for. So my message is three things. That healing begins with restoration on three levels. It starts with restoration with God. Then restoration with yourself. And then restoration with others. So in those three, we are whole. When we are whole in all of those, we know we are whole. God has done his work. Restoration with God is to come back into an intimate love relationship with God the Father, to receive his love and learning to trust God. Very important that we trust God in everything that we do. We can love him, but we cannot trust him maybe. And rejection causes people not to want to trust God. So sometimes that is a very difficult thing for us to work through, is to come to that point where I trust God in everything, saying he makes all things work out for the best because I'm called by his name and that I love him. It's easy to speak it, but it's difficult to believe it. So it's faith that we come back to faith that God is good. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. As I grow in relationship, my faith grows and I start trusting who God is. But it comes by spending time in the word, growing and proclaiming and praying and spending time with one another and growing in the word. Then the second one, which I see is probably most people who struggle, is this restoration with yourself. Because it's we need to develop a healthy self-esteem, and it starts with knowing who we are in Christ. We place our identity and our self-worth in Christ and learning to see ourselves as God sees us. Our identity in Christ is probably where the breakthrough is. We will know the truth and the truth will set us free. If we understand who we are in Christ and how Christ sees us, we accept who we are and we actually start liking who we are. And that is where I believe God is wanting to take all of us to. That all of us have a gift. All of us have a purpose. God loves us who we are. He's made us unique and differently for everyone. Each one of us have a different calling that is different. I cannot do Charmaine's calling. Her calling is different to mine. But it could be similar, but it's different. And God has this special plan for her life that I will probably not do. But he will give us the grace and the faith to overcome. So it will become an effortless as we walk into what God has called us to. We won't have to work for it. If we have to work for it, then it's probably not our calling. It will become a place where we know, and I'm excited about it because God had placed it in our hearts. Then the third one is to restoration with others. We have to release hurt and bitterness through forgiving and learning to walk in love with one another. And that, I think that's the outflow. We will love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, and with our soul, and then we will love one another as ourselves. The outflow of loving God, we become accepted with who we are, and the outflow is that we love people who are around us. So I just, restoration with God. We are forgiven. We are forgiven. All the sin, all the stuff that we've done, God says, I've forgiven you. You're clean. As far as the west is from the east, you are forgiven. He's taken the sin. He's taken it away from us. But just think about that. Some time ago, I was praying with this person, and we were just praying on the identity, and I said to her, you are holy. And this person started crying. And after that, just understanding identity, I could see that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And that was the key, just the identity of, but I'm God, I belong to God, I'm a child of God. But God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the almighty God. He's the God of patience and comfort. But he first loved us. He first loved each one of us. This God, who is a holy God. He has chosen us. He has predestined us. He's got plans and purposes for all of our different lives. God is a God of mercy, of grace. He's righteous. He is the good shepherd. He looks after us because we are his sheep. He's the God of peace. But this God wants to have relationship with us. Individual, each one, he wants to share special things with us. Special things that he will not probably share with Heinrich, that he wants to give to you, Debbie. Because that part is so important. And this is where the body of Christ starts working together, because each one, I'm doing a 1,000-piece puzzle at the moment. And I'm supposed to be preparing for my sermon, but I'm working on my 1,000-piece sermon. My 1,000-piece puzzle. It's so difficult. So I discovered these numbers on the back. So if you can actually build it according to the numbers. So I'm busy with that. But each one of us are like that 1,000-piece puzzle. The puzzle won't work if that piece is not in the place where it should be. But when each one of us is in that specific place, this picture becomes so beautiful. But it's terrible when there's one piece missing, because it's empty, it's not whole yet. So each one of us is that puzzle, and we must allow God to place us in that special place, because this picture is beautiful and it's created by God. So Colossians 1 says, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and He's transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We're out of darkness into His light, the light of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. We are in the Logos, the love. It's just love. You feel it. You want to cry when you walk into that boat. That's where we are. He's called us into that place. We've been redeemed and we've been forgiven. It's done on the cross. He's given us faith of what He has done in the past, hope, what He's going to do in the future. He's given us love, faith, hope, and love. The greatest is the love that God has given us. Then from that restoration with yourself, we are accepted. We are accepted. We are children of God. Jesus was rejected. Shame was put upon Him so that we can be accepted. He's done the work already. And I've shared it before. I came home one day and I said to Lynette, I need healing. And I went to go and pray and I prayed, God, I need healing. And I just didn't hear anything. And I prayed and then I just heard God, but I've healed you. Yes, He's healed me. He's done it 2,000 years ago. He's done it on the cross. I must accept in faith that He's healed me. I must accept what He's done in me. I must accept my identity in Christ. There's no excuse anymore because He's done it already. Yes, it is a process, and therefore we have to walk around and help and nurture and help and teach and grow and encourage that all of us walk into that place. It's not like there's many tears that go through it, and we need one another to help us to walk into that place. But we are children of God. We are accepted by Him. He loves us. God loves us. And that's amazing. He loves us. Liefie, Job. God loves us. And for me, that is the biggest revelation, that I've got a new identity. I'm new. I'm new in Christ. I'm completely new. And I'm declared by God holy. He says, I'm justified. Just as if I've never sinned. I'm new. I'm a new creature. Is there still sin? Yeah. Why? It's a process of sanctification. God says, I'm proud of you. He's given us 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. We are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All that is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So that verse 21 basically says that Jesus, all sin was placed upon Him so that we don't have to deal with that. So He's done that already. So the scripture is saying God wants to reconcile us from where we are to the Father. And when we're in His presence, we are new. We are made completely new again. But we have to accept this. How do you accept it? As you accept it, that you are born again. Okay. I've confessed. I'm now a child of God. It's faith. You have to accept that I'm a new creation in Christ. So, how does it come? By confessing it. If you struggle, but I can't even hear it. But the word says, I am a new creation in Christ. I am made righteous in Christ. I am justified in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that I am holy. But you don't feel holy because you've just sinned. But Lord, you say, and there's all that shame and condemnation and all that guilt that goes with that. But the thing is, there's going to be two voices that you will hear. Either you're going to hear the voice of destruction, or you're going to hear the voice of reconciliation. Which one are you going to pronounce? Because you will be what you say. If you say, I'm not going to do it. If you want to jump over a 6-meter wall, high jump, or 6 meter that high, and I say, ek kan dit nie maak vandag nie, then you probably won't make it. But if you start speaking, ek kan dit doen, ek kan dit doen, ek gaan dit doen, ek gaan dit doen, you will probably get over it. And if you didn't make it, say, ek gaan dit weer probeer. What we speak is what we will become. So if I speak that I am a child of God, I am reconciled in Christ, and this, my friends, is the place where I see most people struggle to get healing and breakthrough in their lives. They don't believe this, that I am a child of God. We cannot walk forever and still suffer because He's done the work already for us on the cross. And there's four things that we must accept. We must accept that we're children of God. We are holy, we are righteous, we've been justified. We have our identity in Christ. So the four things that I want to share with you is accept God as He really is. God is not like the shack, not at all, not even close to that. That man wrote that book from a place of rejection. He created a God to suit his needs. He didn't create the God that came from Scripture. So this means to know God is to understand God is love, but He's holy, He's righteous, He's the creator God. We must know and accept God as He is. Sometimes bad things will happen to good people. There's a place that we must grow in that. We must grow in our theology, why, who God is. Then the second thing is we must allow God to accept us as we really are. God loves me. But the amazing thing is He likes me too. He likes us. And many times I hear people saying, I know, you know, but I don't think He likes me. But it's a lie. He likes you. He's excited about you. He loves you. He says, you are mine. You belong to me. You know, when Christian was smaller, he fell and he was full of blood and mud in snot. And then he comes to me, he's crying. And when he comes to me, I don't go, nie gaan was yourself, maak yourself skoon nie. I pick him up and I hold him and I go and clean him. And he's all this snot on your back. But why? He's my child. It's my child. I remember Paul Krier said his one boy couldn't breathe because there was green stuff in his nose. So he did as any loving father would do so that his son could breathe again. But that's the love that God has for us. He will cleanse us because He loves us. He would do it because it's a child. And we can only understand it when you have children. That love that one has, unconditional love. And that's how God loves us. He loves us that way because He will do that for us. Then we must accept ourselves as we really are. You know, and some of us, like me, will say stupid things like this. I must accept it. This is who I am. I'm not like Heinrich, always going to say the right thing at the right time. I'm not like that. I'm going to always shake the boat in a different way. I'm created differently. I must accept it. This is who I am. My puzzle is maybe here in the corner where all the blue pieces are, but the flowers are. It looks very demarcated, or the mud is even, but that's who I am. That's who God created me. I'm not perfect. Neither are any of us, but that's how God created us. He made us this way. We must just accept it. This is who I am. And then the fourth thing is, we must accept others as they are. And Heinrich always says, give me the benefit of the doubt. And I want to say to one another, give one another the benefit of the doubt. Our intentions are not always evil. Sometimes you just a den or a rose, or this is the personality. They don't even think of it. They just did something, or they reacted, or they responded. They didn't mean it against you. They just said it because that's who they are. They didn't mean anything by it. It's just how they are. So when we are rejected, we many times go like, oh, they didn't phone me. They didn't elect me. Everyone was invited. I wasn't invited. There's many things that goes through our mind, but it comes from a place of rejection. Where in Christ, it's give them a benefit of the doubt. They probably thought I'm busy, or they didn't even think of me. So because that prevents us from loving as God wants us to love. Because now we have this thing against someone because they didn't act in a certain way towards us. Let's give one another the benefit of the doubt. Galatians 5:1 says, "For the freedom Christ has set us free, stand firm therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." We've been set free. Don't fall into slavery again. And this is where Satan is wanting to get us. We've been set free of sin. We sometimes fall back into sin. Is God, does he accept that? He doesn't like that much. He wants us to be holy because he is holy. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So let no one say when he's tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." So sin comes from this desire in us. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Sin destroys. So let's understand that and say, God, I'm a sinful person. Help me. So there's a growing in Christ that God wants to take and heal us and deliver us from sinful desire. Unforgiveness is sin. Bitterness is sin. We have to allow God to heal us. All this rejection is sin because we doubt, unbelief. God doesn't love me. That's sin. So God wants this, and sometimes we just have to repent, Lord, and come back to God for what he wants to do. And then the last one, God wants us to be restored to others. Colossians 3 says, verse 12, "Put on then as God's chosen ones." And this is who we are. We are God's chosen ones. He says, "We are holy and beloved." We are God's chosen ones. We are holy and we are beloved. Amen. Let's put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful, and let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So, as God's chosen ones, he says we are holy, we are beloved by him. He wants us to have compassionate hearts, to be kind to one another, to people that we don't know, to people that we hate, to bless those who curse us, to the ones that we don't like, to love them. And it means acts of kindness, to do the right thing, to carry the burden of a brother that you don't like. That is being kind, to be meek. Meek is just, yes, that's fine. Renee, gaan jy maar eerste, ek sal wag, it's probably your turn, the boat is sinking, but I'm going to give my place to someone else. That's what God is wanting us to have patience. My time will come. It's maybe not now, but I'll wait in the Lord. I'll wait. I'm not going to fight for my rights because God is fighting for my rights. We have to forgive one another. If someone has a complaint, just forgive. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Does it hurt? Yes, it hurts. But forgive. Our healing, the bitterness. Because if we don't forgive, it brings a root of bitterness in our hearts. And that destroys. If we can constantly think about what someone has done against me, it leaves offense. And offense is like a forbidden word in the church. We're not allowed to say that. But if there's offense, then it means there's unforgiveness. Because we're not allowing God to deal and to heal that what he has done. So as God has forgiven us, because he has completely taken away everything that we've done wrong against him. In that way, we must completely forgive those that have sinned against us. God has forgiven us even before we said we are sorry. He said he died for us. So even if a person doesn't say to us he's sorry, we must still forgive them. We'll forgive the act. We will forgive the person, but we cannot forgive sometimes acts like abuse. We cannot say that's wrong. We shouldn't say, no, that's... You understand what I'm saying? So if someone has hurt you, you can say it's wrong that they've punched me in the face, but I forgive that you've punched me. I forgive you as a person. And if that person continues to do it, you have to separate yourself from that person that we can live lives of that, like there's peace in our hearts, that we live in harmony with one another, that the peace of Christ rules in our hearts, that we are thankful to God for all things, for all that he has given us. And then it says, let the word of Christ dwell in us. He brings us back to the word again. Our healing, our deliverance, our breakthrough is in being reconciled to God. To know God, to spend time with God, to be with him, to pray with him, to praise, to worship, to have fellowship with one another, to come to cell group, to say, brother, pray for me, I'm taking strain, to be accountable, to walk with God, to get to know God, to hear what Donnie's perspective is on heaven and hell, and then he speaks to Heinrich, and we all grow and we all learn from one another as we see different things in Scripture. And then in this place where we are open to correction, because it says, you know, we must admonish one another in all things with wisdom, sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, thankful in our heart. Then we know when we walk in this. But if there's rejection, if there's bitterness in our hearts, this is impossible. This can only start if there's reconciling with God. If God starts renewing us and we start renewing who we believe we are in Christ, then the outflow, the fruits almost will be in this place. I just want to pray for us, if we can just stand. Father, I just want to bring, God, this morning, your church, God, the body of Christ before you, Lord. And Father, we are like that 1,000-piece puzzle, Lord. And there's many open pieces, Lord, of pieces that is standing separate. And they don't know where they belong. And they're probably in a different area or quadrant than where they should be, and they're being forced into a little group, but they're not feeling comfortable there because they're forced in an area where they're not belonging. And Lord, I want to pray this morning, God, that you will come and make us whole, Lord. And Father, I pray that each one of us, Lord, will understand that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free, Lord. God, that it's already done, Lord. You've done it. You've done it on the cross, Lord. You've paid the price. You said it's finished. Your blood has flown for us, God. It dripped on that ground, Lord. And even that centurion said, he praised you. He said, this was God. He praised, he worshipped you when you died. Even in your death, people turn to you, Lord. But we thank you that you are not dead, Lord. You are alive. You are resurrected, Lord. You are sitting at the right hand of the Father and you making intercessions to us. You love us, Lord. God, I want to pray, Lord, for all of us, Lord, who are still, we're still feeling broken in our hearts, Lord. We're still feeling this pain, Lord. I want to bring pain before you this morning, Lord, and I want to ask you to come in gently, Lord. And just to come and touch your finger, Lord, on broken hearts, Lord. Just touch them, Lord. Lord, your word says that you will pour out your spirit upon your people and you will take our hearts of stone and you will give us hearts of flesh and that you will be our Father and we will be your children, Lord. And you will cause us to obey and to walk according to your words and your commandments. And God, in that place, there is no diseases that you've put on the Egyptians, Lord, because you are God, our healer. And in the name of Jesus, I want to just bring this word that I believe God has given me, that some of us need to turn back to God. That's where we start, just turn back to Him. Say, God, help me. Like a orphan of Esther's and prayed 20 years ago, and she said, Lord, I need your help. I cannot go on like this anymore. I need help. I need to be healed, Lord. And it's only in that place where we call upon His name. And He says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be healed, will be saved. He says, call upon me and I will deliver you. God says, call my name. He says, Jesus, King of Kings. Here, help, help, help me. And that's the call. And then some of us maybe have come to that place, but we have to accept that we are children of God, that we belong to Him, that He is pleased with us, that He loves us as we are. He says, you are mine, you belong to me, I love you, I am proud of you, well done. And you don't have to perform for my acceptance. Please don't perform. Just be. It's almost like God is saying, go rather build or do a 1,000-piece puzzle than trying to do things for me. Because I can speak to you in the puzzle. But when you do things, I cannot speak to you. Because I want to speak to you. I want to tell you things. I want to show you things. I want to share the dreams that I have for you, with you. Amazing dreams, beautiful dreams. I want to restore you to that, what I've called you for. And then the outflow is that God wants us to be restored to one another, to love one another, to walk together as brothers and sisters, and that the love of Christ will be in all of our hearts and that we will feel welcome in settings like this because we know we are on this Logos Hope ship. We all have one thing in common. We have a Father in heaven, the Father of lights that loves us. We belong. We are part of the family of God. We might speak different languages. We might be from different ethnic groups, from different countries. We might look differently, but we all have one thing in common. We are made in the image of Christ. We look like Jesus. And as we know Him, we become more and more like Him, because we become who He wants us to be because of His love for us. Because He wants us to endure, to have victory, to overcome. Because God has not given us that pain. He wants us to be free of that pain. When I was in Zambia, this one lady said, suffering and pain and something else means nothing unless God does something good in it. And I really believe God doesn't take us through pain because that's who He is. I just believe the pain is something, sometimes a process that He takes us through to reconcile us. Sometimes we've got to let go of the world, and that can be painful. But in Christ, there's no pain. In Christ, there's joy, and there's peace, and there's love. There's goodness, it's the presence of God, because God is completely good in everything that He does. Lord, we want to thank You, Lord, and I want to just pray that You will come and do a work in all of us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just want to, if there's anyone that feel they need to respond to the word, in any way, and you just need prayer this morning, Heinrich and I, a few of us will be here to pray. So we want to encourage you to come forward, that we can pray with you. And I just want to encourage you, it's a journey, but God is good. And don't, if you have pain, don't think that He's done it already, I should be painless. Please come and speak to us. Let us help you. Let us help you walk through it, because sometimes I needed to walk through it as well. It is painful to walk even through it. But starting to get through it, you start to see more and more of the goodness of God. But the first step is sometimes just to respond, to say, I need help. Can someone pray with me? So if maybe that is you this morning, we want to pray with you. And for the rest, may God bless you. Have some coffee with us, and may the goodness of God, the fullness of God, be in all of our lives, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Bless you.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.